So yeah, I should have put a new post out there that we were having church, but I kind of did a post last week that had our lineup and schedule for the month of December. We're going to be talking about the hands of Jesus. And so with that cross behind me, if you remember last week, we talked about the nail-scarred hands of Jesus, and we took communion together. And remember, the challenge is not just to see the hands of Jesus, but to be the hands of Jesus. All right, so we see the hands, we see the sacrifice, we receive what he has done for us, and that's what communion is all about. But then the additional challenge is how do I give myself for others, that they would know his love and that they would know his grace and his salvation that is there. And so I told you we're kind of doing the not chronological life of Jesus. I'm starting with his death and going back to his birth. So next week, we're going to look at the humble hands of Jesus. And I told you the whole series was birthed in just an image that God kind of gave me of going back to when my kids were babies, just the little baby grabbing onto your finger. If you put your finger there, they'll put their hand right around that finger. And I got thinking about that. Jesus was that baby in such a humble place that he came from heaven. Anyway, so that's next week's message, the humble hands of Jesus. But anyway, picture the little baby hands of Jesus. That's kind of where I am for next week. But this week, I think I warned a few people that this could be a really long message, and I'm already getting a late start, so I'm going to talk fast, so you have to listen fast. But this is the helping hands of Jesus, and so I really want to take us to those 3.5 years of Jesus' life and ministry. And I got looking at my notes, and I have preached probably 5 to 6 different sermons out of the stuff that I'm going to cover here. But I wanted us to get a big picture of the idea that everywhere that Jesus' hand was extended, he brought help. Now, that word seems weak, right? I like we were saying, Jesus changes everything. He brought transformation. He brought, we're going to look at that, but the bottom line is, so we use that phrase, right? Can you give me a hand? Can you lend a hand? Means, can you help, right? You ever had somebody help you that you wish wasn't helping you? I know I've been that guy whenever it comes to like construction or tools kind of thing. They're like, just hold the flashlight, you know, or just keep me company. Like they're not real jobs that they give me. They don't want me touching things. They tried to even give me the glue gun and I put too much glue and I still feel, remember that, Larry? We started with the screw gun. They're like, anybody can drive drywall screws. And I did one of them. They're like, give me that. Anyway, so I never touched that again. And then they gave me the glue gun, and then I put too much glue. But I tried. I tried to help and to give a hand. But so the bottom line is this: hands represent what we do. Hands represent the activity of our life. And with the activity of our life, you're doing one of two things. You're either helping or you're hurting. Now, I know everyone's like, isn't there some kind of neutral category? Because we live in this world that just says, you just do you. But I'm telling you what, selfishness hurts others. There's a lie in our world that says selfishness, it does not hurt others, but it does. And it is the very root of sin itself is in selfishness, okay? And so there is not a neutral category that says, I'm just going to keep my hands to myself. Well, you hear that one in school, right? Keep your hands to yourself. I used to, because this year we were not able to go in, but I was doing going into the public schools and doing a Bible class. They would release the Release Time Bible, and it was doing lessons with them. And so one of the rules that I did, I said, keep yourself to yourself, because if you said hands and feet, there would be some kind of kid that would bite the other kid. You know, they're going to find a creative way to still impose harm or annoyance anyway, one way or the other. But that's not an option to keep our hands to ourselves. I would take you to the James 4:17 definition of sin, and this is where I always tell you that I didn't write this, so don't get mad at me, but it says to anyone who knows the ought they ought to do and they don't do it, to him that is sin. This definition of sin is not just what you do, but it's what we fail to do. And so we can't, it's not an option to keep our hands to ourselves. We are the body of Christ. And so as we see the hands of Jesus, and I'm going to give us this this broad, big picture snapshot of the hands of Jesus and his life and ministry and what he did. It's not just seeing the hands and knowing that's who he is. It's knowing that's who he's called us to be the hands. I know I'm still in the intro, but let me at least start with a verse here. I've probably already shared a bunch of verses, but anyway, here's Acts 4. Everything else we're going to look at is in the Gospels, but I love what's happening in Acts chapter 4. This is after Peter and John had healed the lame man. You know, silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give thee in the name of Jesus. You know, and Peter stretched out his hand and he rose up and he walked. But then there was persecution where they called him into the religious people's office and they said, you stop preaching Jesus or else. And so what do? They go to a prayer meeting and they have a prayer meeting and here's what they pray. They say, now Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness and stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. And I just begin with that verse to tell you, it's not just about seeing the hands, it's about being the hands. This is New Testament. This is the church. We are the continuation of the ministry of Jesus Christ, that we are his hands, his feet, his voice. We are the body of Christ. And his hand is still needs to be extended with healing and with all of those things. So I got 3 points and I got them to start with the same letter. I didn't think I was going to be able to. But I stretched it a little bit and I got it, all right? So number one, the hands of Jesus, the helping hands of Jesus. That's the title, helping hands of Jesus. It's like extra dry today. Number one is hands-on hands of Jesus. Hands-on. Like, so how many of you are hands-on learners? Like, I don't want to read the manual. I don't want to read the book. Just let me do it, right? Like, hands-on. I want to get my hands dirty. I got to be involved. I know Brian. That's definitely Brian. He's nodding like, yep, that's me right there. once again, that's probably not my gifting necessarily in that area. But let's start with this passage with Jesus and the little children. So this is in Mark 10, 13 through 16. People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And he took the children in his arms. He put his hands on them and bless them. So there's that phrase right there in this description of Jesus and the little children. He hands on the children. And you see it right in the passage. It is definitely a culture where the kids are meant to be seen and not heard, right? Like kids and women didn't count in that culture. And I'm not saying anything, obviously Jesus is counterculture right here. Like Jesus stepping out and to start ministering to the children, like you see the disciples, Jesus, what are you doing? They begin to rebuke Jesus. Like, does anybody else find that comical? They begin to rebuke Jesus? Jesus, you're doing it wrong. No, Jesus, those are little ones. They don't count. They don't matter. And I know I could use this passage and I could talk about the value of children's ministry and the value of family and all of that is right there. But if we just talk about that our Jesus was a hands-on Jesus that touched those that were forgotten, those that were meant to be ignored, those that everybody else overlooked, he went out of his way to be hands-on and he took them in his arms and he put his hands on them and he blessed them. That's the example set before us. And you know, when we get to the end, maybe you feel like you're forgotten and ignored. Well, Jesus can touch your life, and he will touch your life. But let's face it, we are guilty as a society, as the Church of Jesus Christ, of like the story of the Good Samaritan, walking on the other side of the road instead of getting our hands dirty. Right? When the Samaritan got down there, he was bleeding. And I mean, you want to talk about kids, their snot-nosed, dirty faces, all disease-infested. I know that's how some of you think about children, right? Remember, you were one of those for whatever that was worth. Maybe that would bring some perspective. And maybe that's what's going through the disciples. No. The kids are dirty. The kids don't count. The kids don't matter. And he put his hands on them. We serve the hands on Jesus. And we know that carries on, you know, still on this idea of our hands on Jesus. How about the leper? How about the leper? The same idea. The leper. I mean, you want to talk about... let me go ahead and read the passage before I get talking here. This is Matthew 8, 1 through 3. When he came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." In verse 3, Jesus reached out his hand and he touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately he was cured of his leprosy. So, I mean, this is like almost another level. Yes, we get it, kids, and they're like, "Oh, Jesus had a soft spot for kids, and that's great, and we ought to have that." But we're talking like leprosy. You know, you want to talk about isolation and quarantine and all of these things. The moment you were diagnosed with leprosy, it was a death sentence. You had to leave your family and go live in a leper colony to never be touched by anybody else. They could give you food from a, you know, it was the beginning of takeout delivery. And all the things that we're facing today, right? But the leper, it was, and you just waited to die. There was no cure. It was a living death sentence where it was a flesh-eating disease that, like, you just, that's what you had to look forward to, is your ear and your nose falling off and eventually dying. And that's, I mean, that's almost worse than dying, right? It's like this living death, if you will. And there's this question, this leper calling out from him, knowing that like he's already breaking protocol to even be talking to people because they were unclean and everybody had to keep their distance and they had to keep their distance. So we imagine there's quite a bit of distance for him to call out. And he calls out in this kind of faith that says, "Jesus, I know you could make a difference right now if you are willing." And can you see the heart of Jesus? He says, it says in one of the Gospels, it says, He became indignant. "If I'm willing, of course." And he went and he touched. Can you imagine the disciples? Right? Like they probably didn't even have time to rebuke him this time. But can you imagine the disciples on this one? "No!" You know, I can see Peter diving for Jesus. Like, "No, don't touch him. Unclean." And yet, can you hear the words of Jesus? "I am willing to touch what nobody else will touch. To touch the untouchable. To touch the hardest, the most broken, the most messed up you can find. I'm willing to get my hands dirty." And I hope you hear the heart. Remember the message, the hands of Jesus. Not just see the hands of Jesus, but recognize the call to be the hands of Jesus. It's time for his church to be willing to get their hands dirty. What does that look like in your life? I mean, we have to wrestle with that as a church. How are we gonna be the willing hands of Jesus? That they would touch anyone in need. And we see it carry out in his ministry, you know, him being accused of being a friend of sinners, whether it's tax collectors, whether it's prostitutes. He ministered to those that had been rejected and spurned by their culture and their society. And that's the heart of Jesus. "I am willing." The question is, can his church say the same thing? "I'm willing. Let them little children come. Yes, I'll touch the lepers. I'll touch what nobody else will touch." That's the heart of Jesus, and he's looking for a hands-on church, willing to get their hands dirty. All right, I got to keep flying. I told you it's a long message. That's number one. Be the hands. I can look at my notes, but it just gets longer if I do that. Be the hands that will be hands-on for the lost, forgotten, and untouchables of our world. That's what I put. All right, number two. the healing hands of Jesus. You knew that we had to go there, right? Hands on of Jesus and then the healing hands of Jesus. And it's very simply this. Everybody that Jesus touched was transformed. Whether you want to talk about deliverance, whether you want to talk about forgiveness of sins, whether you want to talk about healing. That leper was cleansed. As tragic as we talk about getting the death sentence of being diagnosed with leprosy, now flip that on its head and look at the joy of what it would be to be instantly cleansed of that and life restored, and you're not going to die, and you get to be with your family. What a moment. And it came from the hand of Jesus, right? It came from the hand of Jesus. Everything Jesus touched, it brought transformation. It brought healing. So here's quick rundown. That's a leper. Here's a blind man in Mark 8, 22 through 26. They came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. Took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spit on the man's eyes, he put his hands on him. There's that hands on again. He put his hands on him. Jesus asked, "Do you see anything?" He looked up and said, "I see people. They look like trees walking around." Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes, and his eyes were open. His sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Jesus sent him home, saying, "Don't go into the village." Once again, can you see the? I think leprosy is probably, I don't know which miracles, you could start ranking the miracles of Jesus kind of thing. But for them, that was a life changer, right? To go from not seeing to being able to see, because Jesus put his hands on me. Maybe one day I'll do a message on spitting on people, but we're not doing that one today, all right? We're going to save that one, all right? Right now, that's not kosher in our particular COVID culture today. Let's not be spitting on people. Even the hands-on is a stretch, right? Okay. But I hope you hear it more than the physical. I hope you hear what that means in principle, that when Jesus touched him, he saw. The dead girl, Jairus' daughter, who had died, this is in Matthew 9, 20, actually all the Gospels have this story, but Matthew 9, 23 through 29, when Jesus entered the ruler's house, he saw the flute players and the noisy crowd. She's dead, okay? And yet Jairus sent from her. He said, "Go away. The girl's not dead, but asleep." And they laughed at him. After the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took the girl by the hand, and she got up, and news of this spread throughout that region. As Jesus went on from there, okay, we'll just stop there. Verse 26, he went and took the girl by the hand, and she got up. All right, now we're going top that miracle kind of thing. Dead to alive because of the hand of Jesus. So here, what do we do with this? We need to believe for the supernatural touch of Jesus. See that hand that is available to us today, but then also recognize that we're called to be that hand. To be that hand. So Art Thomas and John Mark are doing their church down in, I think, Fenton area. I'm not sure. Phyllis, what area? Do you know where they are? I don't know. It's okay. Canton? Is it? Canton, all right. There, to me, it's all downstate, right? I'm a northerner. Like, people throw out those suburbs, and I'm like, I don't know where those are or what they are, but it means something to someone. Anyway, we had Art Thomas in here as an evangelist, and he did some teaching, and he was talking about, and just, I'm throwing this in the middle of this message right here, but this idea of healing hands of Jesus. He talked about that Jesus is the place where heaven met earth. Like all of heaven, all of who God was, God with us, right? Emmanuel, God with us. And Jesus said it himself when he read out of Isaiah in Luke chapter 4, "The Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to preach good news, set the captives free." Like, heaven and earth met in that place. And because up to that time, right, where was God? God was in the Holy of Holies in the temple, right? That's where God was, and his presence and his power was relegated to. But now here's Jesus, really a living, walking temple, if you will. God with us, God among us. The kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is now, All right, now you fast forward to New Testament, and even Jesus talking to his disciples, he's saying, it's better that I go so that he can come and that the Holy Spirit, God himself, will be in you and with you, and then even greater miracles than I've done, you're going to do. And then we look at Paul's teaching, and then the same power that raised Jesus from the dead would be in us. And then what does Paul say? That we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, that we are the place now where heaven meets earth. And what I mean by that, God has anointed his church with his supernatural power. And we see that in Mark 16. It says, and these signs will follow them that believe. And it says, and they'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And I'm not here to do a whole theology on healing and miracles or anything like that, but I believe that we got to believe for more as his church. And I'm all, yes, there is a hands-on aspect where we got to be a church of action and we're going to meet physical needs and we're going to do our best, but we also need to believe for the supernatural power of God flowing through his people and flowing through his church. So yes, it's hands-on. Yes, it's a choice to be involved. Yes, it's I'm going to meet needs and I'm going to do whatever needs arise. I want to be the answer and I want to be there. But I also know that there is a supernatural God who flows through his church. And I want to believe in faith that the same power, that the same spirit works in us. And we ought to be praying for a coworker with a headache, knowing that God can take it away. Maybe that's just a little one, right? What does that look like in our lives to realize that his church is his healing hands, the extension of his power? I don't know. Did I cover that one okay? I'm looking at my notes more. Same spirit, same power, belief for supernatural touch of Jesus through his church. All right, let me get to the last one. So what do we got? Hands on, hands of Jesus. The healing hands of Jesus. And the last one, this is the one I had to stretch a little bit. I told you already, I think at the beginning of the service, talking about Peter and the extension of his hand. Because it's like the idea of rescue and salvation, but I'm going with hope-filled hands of Jesus. Hope-filled hands of Jesus. So I got them all to start with the same letter. It's not a requirement, but it makes me sleep better at night. So there we go. Hands-on hands of Jesus, the healing hands of Jesus, and the hope-filled hands of Jesus. You know this story. The disciples are out in the lake in the middle of the night. It's kind of stormy. They see something that looks like a ghost out there. And then they're like, wait, is that Jesus? And Peter's calling out to him. Jesus, is that you? If it's really you, tell me to come. Let's pick it up right there, all right? So we're going to pick it up right there. That I gave you the background so I could read here. Matthew 14, 29 through 32. This is the red letters of Jesus. I know it's white on the screen, but it's Jesus. He said, come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. The extended hand of Jesus. And I know I just shared this on one of the online messages about the moment we start, about where our eyes are focused. You know, we talk about eyes on, eyes off. Eyes on Jesus, walking on water. Eyes off Jesus, sinking, right? I know, everybody who's ever preached this passage has made that point. But it's so good. It's so true. And I'm just, you know, but I love the part, you know, and we like to beat Peter up. Hey, why did you do that? You shouldn't do that. But are we really so much better than Peter? Okay, I am not any better than Peter. You guys aren't ready to agree with that statement. But I am not, I can easily get my eyes on the stuff going on around me and off of Jesus and find myself sinking, find myself in need of rescue. And I love that he cried out, and I love the word immediately. That's a powerful word. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and saved him. the hope-filled hand of Jesus. And if we, and I get it, that's like a buzzword today, the idea of hope and COVID and all of those kind of things. And you can add politics, and you can add whatever, you know, murder hornet, whatever you want to add to the list, you can add it to the list. We're in need of hope, but you know, the world's got like their own kind of messed up version of hope is found in the hands of Jesus, in the extended hand of Jesus, and his hand is extended to the world today. And so let's look at it on a personal life. If the definition of your spiritual state right now is sinking, and I would dare say if I look at the church as a whole, there's a lot of sinking going on. I don't know, Bill's praying for me to be mean today. I was like, this isn't really a mean message. I thought it was inspirational and motivational. But I got thinking about it. I was like, that's probably the meanest thing I'm going to say, all right? And so as he's praying for me, I'm like, that's probably, okay. He says, not the word mean, just truthful and don't care what anybody thinks or says. But anyway, I don't always kind of roll that way, but that, it's true. There's a lot of sinking happening in the body of Christ. And I'm not just talking Life Worship Center when I say that, but I'm not excluding Life Worship Center when I say that. Okay? There's a lot of sinking going on. And what we need to do is we need to see the hope-filled hands of Jesus. Immediately, when they cried out, immediately Jesus reached out his hand and he rescued them. Psalms 46:1 says that he is my refuge and my strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. He's a now help. I called, he answered. The hope-filled hands of Jesus. And what an amazing testimony. I mean, like I said, we like to beat Peter up, but I think what Peter learned in that moment is the moment I can turn to Jesus in a moment and he'll be there for me. Like, do you think that maybe informed the rest of Peter's life? Yeah, he got out and he walked on water. Like, none of the other disciples got to say that, right? He's the only one who got to say, I walked on water. And maybe the other disciples would be, yeah, but you sank and Jesus had to save you. And he was like, no, I walked on water. You're like, yeah. I think Peter wins that argument, you know. Not that it's an argument kind of thing. But what he learned by experience is that when I get myself in trouble, when I forget myself in over my head, when I get my eyes off of Jesus, I know that in an instant, he's not going to let me sink, and he's going to be there, and he's going to take my hand, and we're going to walk together. And if there's ever a time, now is that time, to see the hope-filled hands of Jesus. And then, of course, you understand the flip side of that is not just to see that hand, but to be that hand. Because as much as you're struggling, there's a world around us struggling. And I know I preached that the last week we were closed down, but when you're looking down and in, you can't see up and out. Down is focusing on your circumstances. In is focusing on yourself. And there's a lot of people that are focused on themselves and they're in survival mode and they're missing the heart of God, because if you'll just look up, you will see that he is faithful and that he is hopeful and he is everything that you need, and you will also be able to look out and see that there's a world that's hurting and needs his help. And you know how the world gets his help? Through the body of Christ, through his extended hands. And so with that, let me just make sure I covered everything I want to cover. I didn't keep you here forever at all. We did just fine. Be the extended hand of hope to the world. We sang in that song, this is my conclusion here, I'm going to read it right off my page, all right? We sang, Jesus changes everything. A touch from Jesus changes everything. The question is, do you feel forgotten and ignored and untouchable today? See the hands on Jesus that would touch, says, I am willing. Are you in need of healing in the supernatural touch of Jesus? There's healing in the hands of Jesus. Jesus, you change everything. And then maybe, most likely, we'd find ourselves in this category. Are you sinking and need to grab hold of the hope found in the extended hand of Jesus? You bow your heads and close your eyes. I'm just I'm gonna pray two prayers. First one, I'm gonna in a moment ask for those who would find themselves in need of seeing the hand of Jesus. Like in your mind, could you just see the idea of grabbing hold of his hand, and you just know that that's what you need today? That's gonna be the question. And then I'm gonna follow it up with a second prayer. And I probably won't even make you raise your hand. I'm gonna assume that we're all gonna raise our hands to say, I wanna be the hands of Jesus. I wanna do a better job of being hands-on. I wanna recognize that God's supernatural power is working through me, his church, and I want to be the extender of his hope to this world. And so, let's go to the first question first. How many of you here today just really need to grab onto the hand of Jesus? How many of you just raise your hand and say, that's me? I'm not going to embarrass you any other way. All right, go ahead, put your hands down. Let me just pray. Lord, right now, I just thank you for your faithful hands. Lord, we looked at it last week. We follow the story. Those are the hands that spread out upon that cross and took nails for me. That's your hands. Lord, we are your children. And Lord, you're not afraid to touch our lives. In fact, I would say, God, that you're drawn to the forgotten. You're drawn to the lost and the broken. You're drawn to the hurting. And Lord, many today have said they recognize their need for you. And Lord, I pray that you would just reach, because I know you will, and you would touch them. And Lord, what you touch changes. Lord, what you touch has the power of God. So Lord, we pray, like the disciples, stretch out your hand and perform healings and miracles in hearts and lives today. Lord, stretch out your hand. Extend your hand to those that are sinking today. And Lord, bring them hope. Lift them. Lord, we thank you for a lifting of hearts and lives. Where there has been sinking, let there be a lifting as we grab hold of you. Thank you, Jesus. And Lord, finally we pray, as your church, as the body of Christ, as the extension of your hands, that you would help us to be your hands. Lord, help us to be hands-on. Lord, I pray even just during this Christmas season that you would show us in our family system, in our communities, very practical ways that we could get our hands dirty and touch what needs to be touched by Jesus. Lord, I pray that we would recognize that it's not just in our own strength, but Lord, you have anointed us. You have endued us with power that, Lord, what we touch, you touch through us. And Lord, that anything and everything can happen. And so, Lord, we pray that the church, you, me, we, would be the supernatural extension of your hands. That the blind would see, the dead would rise, that hearts would be healed. And Lord, we just pray that we would, as your church, be the extension of hope to this world. That in a world that is sinking, Lord, I pray even just this week that you would bring somebody in our lives who is sinking. And Lord, that you would use us in that moment to be the extension of your hope. That somehow, whether through prayer, through conversation, through action, that God, we would be part of the lifting that you want to do through us. And so, Lord, let us not just see the helping hands of Jesus, but let us be the helping hands of Jesus. That everywhere our hands go, may we bring the ministry of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, we give you our hands today, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. God bless you, and we'll see you next week for Christmas and the humble hands of Jesus.